There's no place like home for the holidays or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98 or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order holiday decor online and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with an assortment of holiday decor plus free online delivery from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done while supplies last.
The in-dash OLED display in the Cadillac Escalade has 38 total diagonal inches of color display. So why do we give it a curve too? I guess you could say we like to bend the rules. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
I'm Brian Goldfinger from Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. We'd like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. Don't drink and drive, don't toke and drive, and wait till you get to your destination to reply to that text. Visit goldfingerlaw.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. First off, apologies that this podcast is super, super late. It's about a day late now. You know, been feeling like shit basically for most of the day and had to get a couple antibiotics, but I think I'm okay for now. My voice should hold up, hopefully. I got some hot water with me, you know. Shout out to Chinese people, boiled water gang. Anyway, I'm here to recap the Raptors beating the Indiana Pacers by a score of 99-96. This happened on Wednesday. Shout out my guy Robbie for hooking me up with tickets to go to this game. Great seats, you know, like six rows back, like behind the away basket, like just a great, you know, sight line. And honestly, it was funny because I was also in attendance for game five in 2016 in the first round of the playoffs. In a similar section, I think I was in 111 at that time. Today I was in like 114, but basically the same angle, same sideline, you know, behind the basket. And all I remember from that 2016, you know, comeback was obviously, you know, Norm with that steal on Paul George, and then taking it in for that crazy dunk where he loses the ball midway in half air and he, you know, still finishes. But you know, what I remember from that game was Raptors play like shit. And then defensively, they came together. They benched DeMar DeRozan because he just wasn't defending and wasn't scoring. And they got a whole bunch of baskets off their defense. And then at the very end, the Pacers had Solomon Hill shoot a wide-open three. And, you know, he sunk it and it forced overtime. Except they went to review and, he had 2 skin cells on the ball. Like, it was that close. And that that call basically decided this entire run for the Raptors, because if the Raptors got knocked out in the first round in 2016, like, they would have tore this whole thing down. Like, there would have been no Kyle Lowry run, no DeMar DeRozan run, no statues for either of those guys. Dwayne Casey probably pounding the rock somewhere outside, like, not in Toronto for sure. It would have been bad. But, yeah, that game five, I mean, they swung it, and it was a crazy comeback, and it's probably the most fun I've ever had at a Raptors game. And this game yesterday was pretty reminiscent of that. I mean, there was a lot of elements. First off, the fact that the Pacers, you know, were the opponent was one, but also that, you know, the Pacers dominated the Raptors for most of the game, and there was no Kyle Lowry, no Serge Ibaka, no Jonas Valanciunas. And when you take those three guys out of the lineup, like, that's so much offense that you don't have, because the central crux of what the Raptors do is they run pick and roll. And JV and Ibaka are great, you know, finishers. And also Lowry is, I mean, before Russell Westbrook came along, I mean, he was leading the NBA in assists, and I think he's still second. And so without those guys, like, it was going to be really difficult. And then on top of the fact that, like, the Pacers have a really good front court. When you look at Miles Turner, you know, Domantas Sabonis is probably the best backup center in the league. And even Thaddeus Young at the power forward position. I mean, that's a very versatile front court. And, you know, the Raptors were countering with Greg Monroe in the starting lineup and Chris Boucher as a backup. And, man, I mean, it just wasn't working. It wasn't working. Monroe was actually pretty active on the offensive glass. I think he had 8 of the Raptors' first, like, 13 points. You know, finished with, I think, 13 points. And, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds. And even Boucher, you know, came in, hit a three, had a 3 blocks, you know, in 10 minutes. Like, you can't argue with that, but basically the Raptors just weren't getting it done, and the Pacers were consistently getting inside the paint and bullying the Raptors. And, you know, even when they weren't necessarily getting penetration, they were put in the post, Raptors had the double, and the Pacers would get open shots, and the Pacers basically led the whole game through three quarters. It wasn't particularly close, but, you know, the Raptors, you know, the one thing I like about the Raptors last night was that Nick Nurse got really creative, and he came up with a couple solutions, right? And, you know, in these games where you really got to scramble, you got a really limited roster, and you're coming and playing a pretty tough opponent. I mean, the Pacers playing the second half of a back-to-back, but they had won seven straight. They had just lost to the Cavaliers on a buzzer beater where Larry Nance Jr. tipped it in after the Pacers missed some clutch free throws. So they were very motivated, and they've been playing really well. And so, you know, Nick Nurse really had to rack his brain and get creative, and that's what he did. And I like that. In the third quarter, for example, you know, he realized, look, plan A wasn't working. Okay, so what do we do? Let's go to a 2-3 zone. He goes to a zone for about three possessions. First possession, you know, the Pacers got a lucky three off of it. So, okay. But then the next two possessions, the Pacers turn it over twice, and the Raptors score three of their own. And so even though that run only ended as 3-3, the Pacers had to call timeout because, you know, Nate McMillan, their coach, wanted to organize the offense and, you know, find a way to counter the zone defense. And I thought, okay, all right, so they might come out with a set play to get an open three. That's usually what happens when, you know, teams call timeout after seeing zone. But I was really impressed with the fact that Nick Nurse, instead of coming back out with zone, he switched up his scheme as well because he anticipated that, you know, McMillan would actually call something to get a three. So he actually then came out of that timeout by playing a switching defense. All of a sudden, it's different, right? It's not just, you know, the I don't even know what specific terminology it is. It could be a 2-3 zone. It could be a 2-1-2. I don't know what it is. But they went to switching. They blew up a couple of possessions. They, you know, had to rely on, you know, some of their wing players to stop guys like Sabonis and Turner in the post. And I thought for the most part, OG Anunoby did a pretty good job of that. And then, you know, Nick Nurse then in the fourth quarter got really, really creative and he put Pascal Siakam at center. Now, it's not easy for a skinny guy like that to play center, especially against guys like, you know, Sabonis and Turner, who are much stronger and legit seven footers. But the one advantage you have with Siakam at center is that you have an athletic advantage and you are quick. And so you're able to force turnovers. And that's exactly what the Raptors did. The Pacers ended up turning the ball over 20 times. The Raptors got a lot of, I guess I could look that up one second. It's one of the advantages of not recording right after the game. The Raptors got 23 points off turnovers, and that really fueled their offense. And a lot of that was Siakam. Siakam was a man possessed in the fourth quarter. I mean, he got so many deflections, came up with so many loose balls, and generally made the Pacers, you know, really overthink their offense. The Pacers only had 11 points in the fourth quarter. A lot of that was because they couldn't run pick and roll anymore because they were switching. So there was no advantage really anywhere. And Pascal was central to that. And the one thing is, you know, Pascal was not only able to just get the stops, but he was also able to, you know, get the ball and then take it the other way in transition and finish. And that's just so hard to do. And so, you know, Pascal was stepping up. Obviously, Kawhi did Kawhi things. And one other guy that really stepped up was Lorenzo Brown, who gets a lot of hate in this podcast, gets a lot of hate on Twitter. I see a lot of criticism of Lorenzo Brown, which I'm just like, at some point, like, you just have to accept that this is a fourth-string point guard and he can't do most of the things you want him to do. But he was very good. It's very athletic. He played really hard, made a lot of hustle plays, and he really only played like the last 7 minutes of the game because, you know, there was like a brief injury to Danny Green, although he finished the game. Norm came out of the game a little bit too. He was a little bit gassed. And Lorenzo came in. He was great on defense, switching all over the place, you know, guarded Oladipo a couple times, got some key rebounds, you know, had a key assist to Fred VanVleet for a three. So Lorenzo Brown really came in and did a lot of work. He even tried to posterize Miles Turner, which was not smart. It looked like a foul from when I saw it in the game, but when I saw it on replay, it just looked hilarious because he kind of cocked that joint back and tried to bang on him, and it wasn't close. Like, it was like, oh, this is what happens when you can get away with this shit in the G League, but you just cannot do this against, like, a 7-foot-2 guy in Turner, and Turner really turned him away. Turner has a couple of really good blocks in the fourth quarter, but you know, the Raptors were able to get back into it with their defense, right? And then, you know, the Pacers just kept turning it over. That helped the Raptors. The Raptors also finally found that three-point stroke. They were just ice cold for most of the game. I think in the first half, the Raptors had a grand total of 3 three-pointers on 18 attempts. And it wasn't much better in the third quarter. But in the fourth quarter, you know, they got threes from primarily Fred VanVleet, who hit all three of their threes in the fourth quarter. All three were just huge momentum plays, including the game winner, where it was off a sort of a scramble play. Danny Green, you know, ends up collecting a loose ball, immediately swings to the VanVleet. VanVleet shoots from like 30 feet. Crazy shot, really, because he was not shooting well overall on the night. I think he finished 4 of 17. And, you know, the Raptors were down 2, and there's a lot of time left on the clock, so they didn't have to shoot that shot. So, again, it would have looked really silly if VanVleet, you know, had missed, but VanVleet was clearly in a groove, and I liked his confidence. I liked the fact that, you know, just in the fourth quarter, he just came on so strong. Yeah, I mean, he hit that crazy three, and the Raptors took the lead. You know, in between all that, Kawhi Leonard was just phenomenal all together. I mean, he had a dunk on Sabonis that was just came out of nowhere, really. I mean, Kawhi was just doing everything this game. At certain points, it even looked like he was getting kind of frustrated. There was a no call where, you know, he tried to got Bojan Bogdanović in the air, and Bogdanović, you know, fell on him a little bit. It's like that DeMar DeRozan classic play where you pump fake and the guy goes in the air and the DeMar tries to lean in. And there was no foul call. And, you know, at that point, DeMar, like, Kawhi was, you know, really frustrated. He didn't get back on transition, which is very unusual for a guy like that. But, I mean, I like that Nick Nurse called a timeout right after Kawhi didn't run back, you know, got his team engaged. And Kawhi from then on was, man, he was just unstoppable. Like, anytime the Raptors need a bucket, he was going up against Thaddeus Young, who is bigger, is stronger, but Kawhi is just quicker. Got past him a couple times. And just generally, like, to have a guy like that, to have a guy like Kawhi, who he's so calm in the clutch, you know what I mean? Like, it just gives you a lot, the whole team a lot of confidence, you know. Yeah, I mean, the Raptors got back into the game, and then at that point, they needed their defense to step up. And the guy who stepped up on that end is Danny Green. Two key stops on Victor Oladipo in the dying moments. First, Oladipo collected a defensive rebound, but then was like really slow to bring it up for some reason. And Danny Green kind of just realized, like, yo, this guy might not make it past 8 second count. So he, like, at the last second, kind of like pressed up on Oladipo and forced a turnover. You know, Darren Collison was screaming at Oladipo for it because, you know, Collison being a point guard, you know, was really trying to push the pace and make sure that, you know, the Pacers got this rudimentary possession set up. Just the most basic thing, like cross the court in 8 seconds. Like, I don't know. That was a stupid play by Oladipo. But still, a very heads-up play by Danny Green to close out at the last second to force a turnover. And then, on the possession after that, after the Raptors, you know, took the lead, you know, by one, the Pacers went to Oladipo again. They had a hard time getting the ball to Oladipo because, you know, Fred VanVleet did a really good job after switching everything off the initial inbound. You know, VanVleet really denied the ball, wasted a lot of time, and forced Oladipo into a drive. You know, Oladipo's got one of the best pull-up jumpers in the NBA, and he does it a lot in the clutch because, you know, he knows that defenses are always worried about him driving. So he's got a really good, like, it's like Isaiah Thomas had the same move, like the original Isaiah Thomas, not, you know, the little child that plays in Denver. But, yeah, I mean, it's a deadly move. And so I thought VanVleet did a great job of just, like, stepping up, not giving him any space, forcing him to drive. And then once Oladipo drove, the defense completely collapsed, and Danny Green again steps up in the middle of the key, you know, just completely stops his momentum, and then forces a jump ball, which was just such a great play. And then on top of that, Danny Green somehow wins the jump ball, which is kind of nuts for my opinion, because, like, Danny is not necessarily athletic, and he's kind of slow, really. And Oladipo is one of the definitely one of the most athletic guards in the league, but Danny wins the tip. Then Danny hits two free throws to ice the game. And then it kind of sets up a controversial finish where, you know, the last two-minute report just got published here on Thursday. And it was confirmed that OG Anunoby definitely slapped Bojan Bogdanović across the wrist. And Bojan was definitely behind the three-point line. So that would have been three free throws with a chance to tie. And, yeah, Bojan was so pissed, man. I mean, he, like, there's no call. The Raptors win. You know, Raptors are celebrating. And then Bojan immediately runs over to the referee and, like, throws his fist in there. And I thought he was going to clock the referee. That would have been hilarious. He did not end up doing that. Yeah, I mean, look, he was definitely fouled. What can I say? Did the Pacers kind of deserve that call? Yeah, for sure. Like, the call is the call. Like, you know, it's a bad call, and they missed it. It's a game-changing call. However, I will say that the Raptors, A, had all the momentum, and B, like, the Pacers were only in that position because they only had 11 points in the fourth quarter. Like, the Pacers should have won this game. They had a fully healthy assortment of players. And the Raptors, like, I mean, I don't know. They were throwing guys like Malachi Richardson out there in the fourth quarter, Lorenzo Brown, you know, Norm, CJ, bricking threes. Like, man, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you can't beat that and you need to have three free throws at the end, which is not a guarantee that you hit all three free throws, you know. So, like, and then you got to win in overtime. Like, you should just close out the game. So, you know, I sympathize with the Pacers, but also I don't really, because they shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. But it was a great game. Again, shouts to Robbie for taking me. You know, it was just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun in the arena. And in terms of your three stars, Kawhi obviously gets the first star, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 11 to 23 from the field, 6 to 9 from the free throw line. Didn't hit any threes, but man, he was seeing double teams. Like, when you see that in person, and just how much space Kawhi has to operate with, it's like you'd really appreciate the fact that he's still able to get an efficient 28 points, because, man, the defense is all over him. But the way he's able to rebound the basketball defensively has been super key, especially in games where the Raptors don't have their front court players. And also his passing is pretty good, man. I mean, it's really improving. I mean, he has 6 assists today. He was real solid. And then the 4 steals, 2 of them were, you know, he just intercepts Tyreke Evans, who tried to do a crossover. You never crossover against Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's going to strip it every time. And he took it in for a dunk. And then the same thing against Oladipo, where Oladipo tried to cross it over and Kawhi just stripped him. Like, Kawhi's just the best player on the floor. And it's such a pleasure to watch that every single night. Second star, I'm giving that to Pascal Siakam. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, a block, 6 of 10 shooting in 35 minutes of play. He had to play center, which wasn't easy, but I actually thought, you know, defensively it helped to play center, but also I think offensively it really allowed him to go at guys like Miles Turner and guys like DeMontis Sabonis instead of going at Thaddeus Young. And Thad Young was actually pretty effective defending Pascal, because I think, you know, stylistically they're actually very similar players. They're both tweener 3-4 types. And so I thought Thad was really good at guarding Pascal. Pascal was not a factor in the first quarter, in the second quarter really, but second half Pascal really woke up and he made so many great plays. And then in your third star, I mean, it's tough to pick between Van Vliet and Danny Green because they shot a combined 6 of 25. But I'll give it to Van Vliet for hitting the shot. I mean, Danny definitely made a couple of great defensive plays, but, you know, Van Vliet ultimately hit those 3 threes in the fourth quarter, and that really swung it. Overall, the Raptors won this game despite shooting like ass from the three-point line, which is not sustainable. You know, the Raptors definitely need to go get a three-point shooter. They shot 7 of 30, which is 23%. Yeah, I mean, it was nice. It was nice to see Nick Nurse get creative. It was nice to see Van Vliet and Danny Green come up clutch. Those guys have been fourth quarter performers, and, you know, it's nice to have those guys on the floor. And it's also, it's just nice to see Kawhi carry the team and get some wins, you know, and just kill this narrative that this team can't win without Kyle Lowry. Like, obviously, Kyle Lowry is very important, the second most important player on the team, but Kawhi Leonard, in these difficult games, is always going to come up and come through. And, yeah, that's, I think for me, that's ultimately what's more important. But, you know, obviously he has to learn how to run the offense and everything like that. And, you know, he's taking steps. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, there's not a lot of good candidates here. I'm going to ultimately go with Doug McDermott. He only had 8 points, but a lot of those were really, really key buckets. And every one of his threes, all both of them, I guess, really hurt. But honestly, there was just no one that really stepped up like that. Like, Bogdanovich had 18. It's like, okay, cool. Thad Young had 11. Turner had 10 points and 5 blocks. Okay. Oladipo had 20. Sabonis had 12. Like, no one really had an exceptional game. So I'll give it to McDermott, who is a bit of a legacy award there, too. He has killed the Raptors on many occasions. But, yeah. Anyway, again, apologies that the pod came out late. You know, it's just what it is, you know. Sometimes people feel like shit. But I'll be back tomorrow to recap the Cavs game and also Saturday to recap the Sixers game.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.